From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The United Nations just released a report detailing the devastating toll of the Afghanistan war, finding that in the first half of this year alone, nearly 4,000 Afghan civilians were killed or injured. The UN has also found that US-backed Afghan forces and the occupying NATO coalition have killed more civilians than members of the Taliban, a new trend in the longest official war that the US has ever waged. Although successive presidents have promised to end the Afghan war, it drags along year after year. Now, an independent filmmaker hopes to shed light on the war through a film that was made under extremely dangerous circumstances inside Afghanistan. Benjamin Gilmore is the writer and director of the film Jirga. His earlier films include Paramedico and Son of a Lion. The new film was made in Afghanistan and is in theaters nationwide right now. Benjamin joins me for an interview. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
So can you tell me the story of this story, the story of the film? Because that in and of itself is a very interesting discussion, that you tried to make the film first in Pakistan. You ended up setting it in an even more dangerous country, Afghanistan. How did the film come about and who helped you write it?
Well, the story of the film is that of an Australian soldier, a former soldier who left the army very troubled after memories of a night raid that he was involved in which an Afghan civilian was killed. And he takes a very bold step, an unusual step, that not many soldiers or veterans who are disturbed by their experiences and injured morally or physically, mentally by their experiences, he takes this very unusual step for a soldier and returns to Afghanistan as a traveler, as a tourist, on a tourist visa, to try and track down the family of the man that he killed and to apologize for the crime. This story came out of, firstly, my exposure to the impact of the war on Afghans. I have been traveling to the country and traveling to neighboring Pakistan for many years and spending time with Pashtuns on the Pakistan side of the border, and then Afghans of all ethnicities in Afghanistan itself, and hearing their stories about this ongoing occupation that seemed to have no end, and feeling as if I wanted to share those messages and those stories with the world. In addition to that, I've also had a lot of exposure to veterans that have served in Afghanistan and have been physically and mentally damaged by their experiences there.
And Australian soldiers are part of the coalition forces that have been serving there.
They were. They were based in Oruzgan province. They were involved in many joint operations with the Americans and with the British. And working in the medical field, which is my background in Australia, led me to hear quite a few stories of soldiers who were involved in these raids and who just could not stop thinking about, it just never sat well with many of these soldiers I spoke to. And in fact, many of them were so troubled by these experiences of being sent into villages based on very poor intelligence to conduct raids, and then finding they had to fight their way out of these villages because the locals who belonged to these villages were simply fighting off these invaders that came at night and were quite terrifying for Afghans. And of course, those lines between the civilian and the combatant in Afghanistan has always been somewhat blurred in a lot of those rural villages. People carry arms, or they have guns in the house, and much like Americans might on their ranches. And so when they find these foreigners suddenly in their villages at night, it's their instinct to protect their homes and their families and their children. And so I was hearing these stories from soldiers that were put into these situations, impossible situations, and found themselves killing people they didn't really want to kill just to get out alive. And so putting these elements together, the impact of the war on Afghans and on combatants, it seemed to me that the war was good for no one and had been going on far too long and was an extremely destructive thing. And I just felt I wanted to do my bit as a human on the planet to share a story of a soldier who takes this unusual step to apologize and to create some kind of healing and peace.
So let's watch the trailer of the film Jirga. And this is the film that my guest Benjamin Gilmore has written and directed. It's in theaters nationwide now.
It's Mike. Can we meet?
I told you not to come. It's impossible what you want to do. They'll kill you.
Can you get me a driver? I want to go here.
No, Kandahar is very dangerous.
Nah, please.
Dagade boom!
Taliban, 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 Taliban.
Are you tourist in Kandahar?
I was a soldier. I'm here to confess. We did a raid on a village. I killed one of your brothers. That money's for them.
What do you care about one dead Afghan? Your people have killed thousands of us.
And that is the trailer for the new film Jirga, written and directed by my guest Benjamin Gilmore. And for our TV audience, the landscape that you just saw is actually Afghanistan, which is very rarely seen on screen. And I want to get to that a little bit later on in our conversation. But Benjamin, I confess that when I first heard about your film and even started to watch it, I, although was moved by the story, felt an instinctive negative reaction to the idea that here we have another film where a white man is centered in a film where the vast majority of victims are Afghans, and the vast majority of Afghan victims outnumber those who are victimized by participating in the war. That, you know, here again you have brown people as props in the story of redemption of a white man, a white savior. You might have heard that criticism from others. How do you respond?
Usually that criticism has come from people who haven't seen the film yet. And I do appreciate that it comes often from Afghans who have repeatedly been disappointed, and understandably, by the way they are depicted in films, particularly Hollywood films. And this was my reaction. Making Jirga was my reaction to those films that I also had a problem with. And the dilemma, of course, is in this day and age, for an outsider, for a foreigner, to make a film about the war and the impact of war on Afghans might not even sit that well with people, because I'm an outsider making that, and it's a story that Afghans need to tell. So I really needed to make a choice. And in fact, I felt that the only way this film was going to reach a wide Western audience was to have a protagonist that a Western audience could identify with. So in a sense, I was using a white central character as the prop to bring the audience into that world, in order for the audience to get an insight into the impact of the war on Afghans. So without that, without a white protagonist, my fear was that the film just wouldn't travel. And certainly what I've heard from distributors in the US and elsewhere is that those suspicions were probably true, unfortunately. The way independent films are released, it's a very difficult space at the moment to get a film to rise above the Hollywood commercial films. We really needed to think about taking a Western audience on this journey with a character that they could see as themselves, and along the way learn about the tragedy of what's happened in Afghanistan.
Is your intention for the protagonist, who is a soldier named Mike, or former soldier, is your intention for him to be a sympathetic character? I mean, to try to come back 3 years after you've killed somebody with money to make up for, a murder. Was it your intention that he be sympathetic?
Well, not necessarily. In fact, some of the early criticism of the film in early cuts was that the protagonist wasn't likable enough. We needed to make him more likable and more sympathetic. And I was questioned by an Australian director who said, "You hate your protagonist, don't you?" And I had to admit that, you know, the real motives for making this film, the early motives for making this film was my sympathy for Afghans and their struggles, but I think for this kind of film to work, there has to be sympathy for the protagonist as well. And I think it's fair to say that the war has not only had taken a terrible toll on Afghans, but it has on military personnel who have been sent there. We have got certainly in Australia, we have got a very high rate of PTSD and suicide. In America, you're looking at an average, I believe, of around 20 veterans taking their lives every day. This speaks of a greater issue to do with war and the immorality of war, and the immorality of killing, and the fact that doesn't sit well with most soldiers who get sent to Afghanistan or Iraq or elsewhere. So I think it's really important. It was important to us that we show a sympathetic side to the character in order for the audience to be able to identify with him and travel with him. But the backstory for this character is that he was at a point where he was considering taking his life. And instead of doing that, he bought a ticket to Kabul instead. And all along this journey, on his journey to the village to meet the widow of the man that he killed, to meet the tribe that the man belonged to, he was ready to lose his life, not to buy his freedom, not to buy forgiveness, because that can't be bought. His taking of compensation was something that was a very Western way of trying to make reparations.
And that's what the U.S. has done in the past to try to make up for innocent Afghans killed. It has just offered money to the families after first denying that they did it and then admitting it through money.
And as you well know, Sonali, and it's certainly something that Afghans told us along the way, Afghans are very intelligent people, and their lives are valuable, as valuable as any life on earth. And yet, their impression is that Americans believe their lives are worth about $2,500, which are the condolence payments that the American military has offered families in the past when they have killed civilians by mistake. And it's extremely offensive to Afghans, as it would be to anyone.
Right. And that's part of the story.
Part of the story. One of the things that this protagonist has to learn is that his Western way of trying to make good is not the right way, and that he needs to listen to Afghans in order to learn about the right way of approaching Afghans and coming to a point of healing and peace.
What role did Afghans play in the making of this film? And I mean more specifically the writing of this film, because of course it's hard for somebody from a different culture to put words in the mouth of characters. Not that that has necessarily stopped Hollywood producers from doing so in other films.
It certainly hasn't stopped Hollywood. And as a reaction to those films, I certainly wanted to do something different. And I knew from the outset, there was no point. I learned this while making Son of a Lion, my first film in the tribal areas of Pakistan in 2004, that I needed to submit myself to the culture and to the people and be a vehicle for them to tell their story. And that's the only way you can achieve something authentic in that culture, I believe. And so in the process of Jirga, the original story was conceived after many discussions, months of discussions with a Shinwari tribesman about the Pakhtunwali, the tribal code of conduct in Pashtun culture, and the plausibility of this kind of story. We hear a lot of stories of revenge, kind of from Afghanistan, and you know, we very rarely hear stories of forgiveness. And yet, in Afghan culture and in Islam, forgiveness features very prominently, and is often an outcome of tribal jirgas. So I learned this along the way. And in terms of the writing, with our Afghan crew, we sat around, we workshopped scenes. There was a lot of improvisation. There were a lot of suggestions made. There was dialogue that we came to Afghanistan with that Afghans wouldn't deliver, that we crossed out of the script, and we needed to be open to that. We were there to learn, we were there to listen, and we were there as vehicles, submitting ourselves as a tool for the Afghans we were with to share this story with the outside world, because they're aware more than anyone about the way they're depicted in the international media. Hardly any of us get a chance to go there.
Right, and let's talk about the setting of the film. I had the privilege of traveling to Afghanistan in 2005, and it was not only one of the world's poorest countries, but one of the world's most beautiful countries. The settings in especially rural parts of Afghanistan are jaw-droppingly beautiful. It's hard to imagine the kind of beauty that exists in Afghanistan, and you captured that in your film because your film is literally set in Afghanistan, something that almost never happens. And I can only imagine that you, your cast, your crew, likely risked your lives to make this film. What led to the decision to make it there? And what were some of the risks you encountered and the rewards that you ended up with in making the film there?
I absolutely agree with you. It is absolutely a stunning, stunning landscape. And it's reflective of the beauty of the people, which are equally inspiring. And, you know, any encounters with Afghans will last in your heart and your memory forever. It's incredible, and it's so sad that they have faced this last 18 years of war. And I guess in terms of why shoot there, well, this is part of the point, was that in this current age, when it's hard to find the truth, the waters are muddied, information is confusing, we're bombarded with information from sources that are unreliable. Our political establishment feeds us lies and propaganda. Very hard to sort through that and try and find authenticity. And so it was our objective to go to Afghanistan. If a film's going to be made about Afghanistan and this war and tell their story, in my view, it should be shot there as well and involve Afghans in the creative process. And of course, you know, being an independent filmmaker, we didn't have funding. We didn't have, millions of dollars to make a film. We had, you know, personal savings, a bit of contribution from various people. We were on a micro budget. And that's another factor, that when you're in that environment, you don't need to do set design. You don't need to do makeup and costume or any of that.
Tell me about the relationship that you portrayed in the film, Jirga, between the protagonist, the former Australian soldier, Mike, and just his driver who takes him to Kandahar, who sort of fights taking him there, but then who takes him there. You have these very interesting sort of prequel to the dramatic part of the film where the soldier encounters the Taliban and asks, you know, finds his way to ask for forgiveness. But you have the sort of calm before the storm. Tell me about that relationship that develops between the driver and the man.
Well, I saw that relationship as illustrative of what the relationship between the West and Afghanistan could be without a common cultural language, if you know, we, representative of the West, this character, Mike, are willing to listen and to find some kind of universal language in which to communicate. And that's what they do. They don't share verbal language, but they communicate through music, a universal language, and they find some commonality and a bond and a connection there, which allows them to continue on this journey. That was really important. It might interest you, Sonali, this character, the taxi driver, was played by Sherilam Miskinostad, who was the former chief palace guard to President Daoud in mid-Afghanistan and wow. survived the day that Daoud was deposed in a communist coup and pulled himself out from under the bodies of his fellow palace, and then went on to fight with the Mujahideen against the Russians. And so this chap, he dabbled in a little community theatre in Kabul back in the 70s, but had only ever seen one film, Rambo 3, back in the 80s, which I think a lot of Mujahideen saw, actually. But he was in my first film, Son of a Lion. He's an incredible character, beautiful man, beautiful artist, poet, the kind of archetypical warrior poet. And so his relationship, people often comment on that, his relationship with Mike was really important. For Mike, who had been to Afghanistan fighting, for Mike to come back and experience a different side to the country. And I wanted the audience to experience that too.
The film is called Jirga. It's in theaters now. Where can people find out more about the film and screenings?
Well, screening in LA at the moment, Lemley on Friday. It opens in New York, Village East until Thursday. It's opening on the 16th of August in San Francisco at the Roxy. And Chicago's coming up. There's a few other cities. BenjaminGilmore.com is my website. The listing's there, or Lightyear Entertainment's website. They're releasing it in the US. We're very lucky to have a distributor for this film. And I think it's a very rare opportunity for people to see the real Afghanistan and hear the voices of real Afghans in a film, and go to the cinema and have this experience of the country that they may never have realized they would be able to have.
Well, certainly just the cinematography and the landscape itself is worth checking the film out for. Benjamin, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck with the film.
Thank you, Sonali.
My guest has been Benjamin Gilmore, writer and director of Jirga. His earlier films include Paramedico and Son of a Lion. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our video channel on Vimeo, and find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.